Soon I'm going to be like on a scotch commercial or something.
That is a good start to the recording. Scotch. That's how it starts.
Thin guy selling scotch. I can feel it. Yeah. Definitely.
First Night Sky Sangha recording.
Plan on some serious sleeping today?
No. I can't reach the pedals in Jeff's car without a pillow, so I just returned his car.
Now, if you can't reach the pillow, I mean the pedals, how does lifting yourself up get you any closer to the pedal?
No, my back, it pushes
me forward.
You go forward. Wish this wasn't on the recording.
How tall are you?
Let's not talk about it now.
Oh, yeah, really. Let's put that in pause.
You're doing your best.
Did you get lost in the grocery store?
Sorry, Jamie.
Come on, though.
It's my fault. I'm just, you know. Chalk it up
to...
At
least to save me a seat.
You just never know who's going to
What is that stuff you get
now?
When you're on an airplane?
Sick? I don't know.
Jet lag.
Chalk it up to jet lag.
Hey, what's that book? Yeah. Law of One? Law of One. I mean, like, it's a three-letter word...
You're going to remember one?
You were so kind.
I got law because I thought of you as a lawyer.
I could tell you were like a Catholic.
But I didn't
like, oh,
use that technique for one.
You were
so kind.
All day.
Really?
What is
yeah.
that thing?
If you're in a channel material, it's pretty interesting.
One.
Into what?
Channel material.
Oh, okay.
I knew it was quite
welcome. Welcome back. Nice to see you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
Is it?
If only I knew where I was a moment prior to now.
No, humidity is a lot worse here, isn't it?
This paradigm doesn't fly. Frankly.
Yeah, the West Coast is paradisiacal.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hot. You know, some days were hot.
Yeah.
But still,
the scent of what
evenings would cool down.
Yeah.
We didn't have all this moisture in the
It's mostly chill out there. I mean, you were just hanging out, right?
I
mean, you were...
I pretty much, yeah. Making a nuisance of ourselves, hanging
yes.
out. Yeah. Eating too much, socializing too much,
yeah.
saying more than was necessary.
All the deadly sins.
Yeah, we're like the average personality.
Jeff has got much better Much more accurate.
I hope you didn't listen to any of Francine's previous.
I listened to that whole thing with you and the lovely Henry.
Herman.
Sorry, Herman. And yeah, I thought that was great.
Were you leading?
She was.
How'd it go?
It was great.
Herman was leading for
Failure
the first five
usual.
Minutes, 10 minutes.
Oh, boy. Oh, I know. I'm like, how long do I let this go on?
Yeah,
for?
Let it go for a while.
Yes. It's very social. So you led a Thursday night or a Friday or something? A Thursday, right?
Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked.
I did?
Absolutely.
Well, not the one I was at.
I thought it did.
Is that the one you were at? The one that sucked? You were there?
You were there.
I didn't think it sucked. What? Well, there was a hodgepodge of people there. Not the usual.
I kind of had an idea and it just went...
That's what always happens. That's
oh, yeah.
That's
no.
really to
happen.
No, it
doesn't. It was,
yeah.
a, it was
yeah, well, it's fun to, if
hey,
you have an idea.
Hey, that happened to me, too.
You can see how easily the slightest idea becomes just an entire field of tension.
I kind of let go of it pretty easy, but I just was like, I don't know, it's just not the same without to their Jeff. It's just
yeah.
the
well, there was a group there that would never come with Jeff there, though.
Oh, did you get like Ernest and Lux?
Who was
I got Lux.
Maybe I should.
And another lady that was very interested in the like.
I know. Let's put our hand
personal aspects of the story that should have been left out, but somehow managed to get in there, and I wasn't really. It wasn't my intention.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It was just.
Yeah.
Well, at least we weren't recording that.
I recorded Jamie's. Me and
yeah,
Jamie's
and I'm
session.
Afraid
he
of what I said.
Like it. Why couldn't you download it?
I did. But I had to do it through Dropbox.
I think we need more
but
training.
But I couldn't
Jeff.
Just get it on my
phone.
All right, then.
Straight to your
it just wants
let's
to
do that.
A Dropbox so much.
So you haven't listened to it yet?
I listened to some of it, but, you know, I couldn't get past the Herman
realm.
Thing. So.
Oh, I listened to it like 8 times.
Yeah,
are
it's
you
a group thing, so it's all going around.
You really listened to it all?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, did you want to explore the theme that you had that night that you passed on? Is it still is it still relevant?
Yeah, you came
yeah,
in
I emailed you about it before you even
I remember
late.
Reading it. Yeah.
It was like, I'm really fascinated to see within this circle what we're still holding on to. I mean, we've created kind of a group of consensus that gets together with Jeff on a regular basis, and there's some themes. And, like, we could catch ourselves holding on to those pretty tight. You know, like, we're the people that say, fuck a lot, and then, you know, slam other spiritual teachers in that, you know, don't
That's enough.
Do a path.
Stop right there. We're good.
It's like,
what more do you want?
Are you willing to question the validity of any of that, you know?
Like, yes.
Saying that there's nothing to do or it's all right here.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Okay, well, why'd you say it?
It's as much of an attachment as, you know, I'm just a normal schmuck and
Absolutely.
We got our attachments too. I think we get together and it's fun to sort of pretend we don't, but the reality is perhaps we do. And we even have attachments in who we are when we show up here.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the mindfulness practice, whether it's the odd style that we do or that is, you know, encouraged in more formal training, whether it's Hindu or Buddhist or Dzogchen or Kashmiri training, the mindfulness practice is really always the same. And it's ridiculously simple, but we have, let's say we're products of a very curious quality of conditioning or association. So it appears difficult to do the mindfulness that we're talking about, though it's also remarkably simple. Let's say, like, right here, right now, wherever here is and wherever now is, and we have no clue. We don't know what's going on. You could have 1,000 agendas. Any one of us could have 1,000 agendas or be preoccupied, right, by stuff that happened today or stuff that's happening in my life or things that I feel that I need to resolve or get closure around, that I need to discover more deeply, resolve, right, with someone. And all of that's swell and good. And that and all of that's at your, let's say, your intimate disposal with no effort, right? The imagination of your life and the inventory of your life is at your disposal instantaneously with no effort. And by seeing that, you might discover the option that you don't have to qualify your present experience through any filter at all.
Well, in your little thing about the Buddhist question, the question from the Buddhist person, it's basically what you're saying. It sounds like, you know, it's like, you know, what you don't need the Buddhist thing. I mean, you know, basically, it's
here's
all right
this.
Here.
Yeah, here's this, and the Buddha didn't have a particular advantage.
There's no chairs to pull up, is there?
Hi, Suzanne.
Hey.
I can put this
up. And skinny. Oh, there's still a lot of
and skinny.
Still a lot of back and forth.
I have no ass. I'll just straddle.
There it is.
I'm little, and apparently I need a gigantic red pillow.
We'll have to get a wrench to move one of the other tables.
Yeah. Oh, there's chairs over there. We could probably steal.
Might be the ice cream place.
Well, I don't know. That's theirs.
So.
Although I might go get some ice cream. I thought this was going to be, I thought we were going to be inside and you're expected to eat.
So
I'm ready to chomp down.
You have frozen yogurt or ice cream?
What's that?
Are you getting frozen yogurt?
I don't
know.
Oh,
okay.
Are you going to get something?
Oh, I don't know. Probably something. But I don't know what
yet. I usually go for the whole blooded ice cream.
No, night ended earlier than it usually does. It's usually a slow time now, but it's busy. I don't know why, but
psychos were everywhere.
What's that?
Psychos were everywhere.
I don't know what's going on in my arms.
Everybody, every time sends you something, we all get some notice.
I never get the group ones. It just shuts my phone down. It just get this big red
you're
thing.
Lucky. Operating your operating system crashes.
Yeah,
meaning you can't get one from Jeff.
No, I can get one from Jeff, but I can't whatever you send out that's like a group thing, I think I don't get that.
Yeah. There's no real way to prepare for this moment. That's simple. And we somehow forget that we already are, let's say, invited into that gift. We forget that we're invited into a simple, already comes with gift, which is there's no way to prepare for this moment, or this one, or this one. That the nature of experiencing is absolutely doing itself from on high to the most, you know, minute discovery. And that consciousness is really too strange for words. There's no suffering that accompanies the actuality of a moment that you can't prepare for. Suffering only occurs in an hysterical artifact, whether that's anticipation or rumination over something that occurred unskillfully in one's past.
Or keep recurring.
It appears to. Yeah, it can appear to. That's right. We mean, well, look at the entire psychiatric profession. At least the idea is, hey, let's talk about the shit that keeps reoccurring in your experience, which you just can't stand anymore. And let's find the culprit, whether it's the parent or, you know, whatever, or the way that you've habituated, let's say, to the miracle of your own experience. And if we can unwind the culprit, then maybe you could become more behaviorally elastic. I mean, enlightenment, if it's sold well, and it is sold well depending on where you purchase it, is sold as, call it tremendous behavioral or experiential elasticity. And therefore it appeals to me, the suffering dumb fuck. What if it's not that, though? back to your point of, you know, what we cling to, right? Or how we frame ourselves, either individually or as a so-called group. I mean, look at the motives, whatever they may be, subtle or otherwise, that give you the yes to be sitting here right now.
Desperation.
Okay. Why not?
Total unadulterated desperation.
It could be that. Jeez. Could be. Yeah. Yeah, and that's as good a, you know, an imaginary motive as any.
I think another thing is just seeing through so much other craziness and bullshit. You know? Just seeing, like, it becomes sort of arbitrary after a while. Everybody has their own little spin on their, you know, belief, you know, and their doctrines they're following, and it's like
casual human relationships, whether intimate or business or political or, you know, warfare, are absolutely all arbitrary.
Yeah.
Even the kinds of relationships that are dictated by well-trained military agendas, where you have a clear hierarchy of everyone in their place and how you follow rules and how those rules flow down, so-called, from the executive through, you know, the war room, all the way down to the guy that's, you know, pulling the trigger on a weapon pointed in a certain direction. Or our dear friend, Bradley Manning?
Chelsea Manning.
Thank you very much for the political correctness. Our dear friend, Chelsea Manning, that revealed some of the war footage, right, of guys in an Uber helicopter taking out more or less innocent people, you know, on a van on the street below, just to show how good we are at executing spot-on surgical war crimes, right? And where did she go, for that gift to our democracy? In the hole, became an enemy of the state. So no matter where you look, right, interpersonally, intimately, with your animal, your boss, your partner,
sometimes it's one and the same,
your parents, right, it's, I mean, life is a peculiar ambiguity of really total unmitigated weirdness from moment to moment.
I think the service is successfully offered. They have the basic training produces a mindset that looks like their existence has meaning.
Yes, of course. Moment. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And what they don't do is retrain them for this.
No. Well, who's interested in this?
They give them something that looks like a something.
Yeah.
And then when they're done with them,
yeah,
they let them go.
They're
out.
Discarded, I know.
They're discarded into this.
Yeah. Yes.
And suicide is a valid option.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sure it is. Yeah.
I was also thinking about the observation that I've heard made a lot. It's like, you know, there's no lock. You know, the door's open. There's no lock and key on this.
No.
And you know, you don't need anything to be free. You know, we already are. What could you possibly need?
Yeah, it's plausible.
And yet it appears that there's a serious lack of freedom. And if you want something, you have to do something.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if you believe in cause and effect, then the freedom goes right out the window.
Oh, instantaneously, right.
So if you give up, is it given up any, not given up, but like the attachment to cause and effect, the belief in cause and effect goes out the window and you're just along for the ride, right?
No, the solution here, if there's a problem, and there's not a problem, but if there were a problem, and desperation were, let's say, a consequence of an imaginary problem, then one might think that the solution has to do with one's behavioral stance, right? But that's just call it a continuation of the myth of samsara. There's no solution, which means anything that we may do behaviorally, spiritually, with respect to conformity or repetition, is not going to work.
Didn't mean behavior is more like just believing that there's that common thread of I do this and this happens, or
yes,
you know, this table is here because,
right,
you get rid of that common thread and there's nothing but just go belly up for the ride.
Okay. But see, belly up for the ride sounds, and it's a very nice, you know, bumper sticker. I mean, go belly up for the ride. You're
going to
make money selling that one.
But there's still the you to go belly up for the ride with.
There's a what?
Well, it's the you that's the problem, like the ego. Mm. So to say, like, we'll just go belly up for the ride
is not addressing
the root cause of the problem.
Well, ego, you know, ego is a funny thing, especially since there is no such thing. You know, to accuse oneself or someone else of having one it's already a slippery slope. There's no such thing as ego. There's never been anything such as ego. There'd be no point in self-accusing or accusing someone else of having one or suffering from one, or even that it could possibly be an obstacle to anything. It's just the case. There's no such thing. I mean, if your so-called mind or your experience is repetitive or ruminating or dwelling with apprehension and past and future, and all of these other called, you know, symptoms of, let's just say, duality, right? Symptoms of dualistic thinking. Then we could say those are, right, tantamount to what we call ego. But none of those are real. They're not a thing. You can't possess them, just like you can't actually possess or suffer from having an ego, even if you have a big one, still. So it's a little subtler than that, right? You see, so this moment, this one, it's not going anywhere. It's not actually riddled with desperation. My imagination could be riddled with desperation, and riddled well. And so if my imagination is riddled with desperation, and for some strange reason, I, ego, right, drags the imaginary desperation into the present moment as a defining, right, defining quadrant or boundary field, then naturally one wants to rid themselves of the desperation, or what we call the ego, or the habit of bringing an imaginary condition or boundary field to the nature of your present experience. So, like that great TV psychiatrist said in that wonderful skit, stop it. just stop it. You see? So again, it's no point in giving anyone advice. Advice about what exactly, right? There's nothing for you or anyone to do any differently than what's appearing right now as an automaticity in your experience. See, the moment you even take up the cause to want to apply yourself somehow more creatively, constructively, or authentically to the present moment, well, then you've, see, once again, created an imaginary and illusory self that appears to have some kind of durability. And so now you know why you're unhappy and what you're going to do about it. But you don't. You really don't. Not just you, any of us. We just don't. So we have to look in a manner of speaking in a more secular manner. Because once we start going spiritual or religious on this, we're just fucking doomed. We're just lost. Because all of a sudden now, something that happened to the Buddha is valuable. And boy, it'd be nice if it were to happen to me. Same with Christ, or, you know, any of the Hindu gods and goddesses, or any of the so-called celebrities on the enlightenment trail that we can hang out with these days. Right? So we have to, in a sense, be willing to be done with all superstition, including the durability of self, as in right about here and right about now. And that can't be that difficult, really, because here this is, and unless you put a nickel in the machine, there's no self. That's the simple revelation here. We don't have to have a cathartic or dramatic episode or have our master say, oh, very, very good, now you go teach. This is ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. Right here, wherever here is, and here is just a dreaming possibility. It's not an actual place. And here, as in time, is also just a kind of a dreaming, right, hypnotic suggestion. It's not an actual time. So here, now, neither which of one exists, just like ego doesn't exist. What is this? And you can't really find a cogent self unless you don't pay attention or insist that you have a self and that that self is, enjoying or suffering from some or a thousand forms of desperation. So therefore, right now, right here, though there's neither a how neither a now or a here, you are nothing but unmitigated weirdness.
And with no purpose.
None.
No function.
No.
No existence.
No. Yeah.
I have a
right.
Extra spell.
What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other, that's
weird.
That's the companion bumper sticker. Right? The first bumper sticker is go belly up, right?
Right.
Go belly up on this.
You want some?
No, thank you. And the other bumper sticker is just, what the fuck?
There's somebody across the same and she got three times as much.
Well, we're predisposed to set price.
This is proposed. It appears that we or consciousness is encouraged, enthusiastically predisposed to making something up.
Something.
Yeah, sure. Right. Even the most, skilled Dzogchen Chen master that wants to hold the candle flame in a certain, quality is darting all over the place. No one can really, really lasso this shit. It's having too much fun. So it's not a question of having a quiet mind, per se. It's something else. There's something else in the mix. Some other discovery that's, you could say, standing by, right? To be observed.
But it seems like everybody, it seems, comes around to explanation.
Yes.
I mean, Nisargadatta, Ramana Maharshi.
All these liars.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
They come around toward explanation and clarification and all that.
Well, that's right. Yeah, sure they do.
So how come? Because they just can't, can't help themselves or something?
No, they can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. I mean, you know, Ramana Maharshi spent some time of his life, right, being, what's the word? Mute.
Mute, silent, yeah.
Right? And a lot of people had tremendous, call it Shakti or wonderful experiences, you know, from the man in the diaper at the head of the room because he was mute. Nirsagadatta was anything but
mute.
Mute. Right? So since whatever this is or isn't is not of a particular nature, doesn't make much difference whether you're silent or gesticulating madly, whether your mind is racing or you're enjoying moments of delicious quiescence. We mistake, let's say, thinking and hearing our own thinking as the principal harmonic of consciousness. So this habit for identifying oneself as either a recipient of experience or a player in experience, a doer, a decider, an author of experience, is part of the delicious madness of, you know, what we might refer to as human existence, human nature. And all we're doing, in a manner of speaking, is kind of playing around with one or many presumptions about the nature of experience and what constitutes, you know, human nature. We're just kicking it around. And by agreement, we are a little more subtle, right? Paying a little more attention than the humans typically do when they're standing around the fountain at work talking about the World Cup.
There is a discipline present.
Yes, of course.
That's different from the world.
Yes.
There's no consensus about what to throw the hell out the door.
Right.
Right. There is here.
Yeah. Sure.
You can't make up shit until you tell. You know that's not germane.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, by playing around the way that we play around, we kind of start to discover, let's say, behaviors or rituals that we presumed had meaning, discovering that they're really not germane. I mean, you kind of germane yourself out of business. Yeah. There's never anything to do about this. Because this melts, in a manner of speaking, of its own nature. It reveals translucent transcendence of its own nature. So there's no need to do anything about it or about oneself.
So what we're doing, what we do, is articulate, use words to observe.
Well, they're
that missing. What's missing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's
if we name enough the things that aren't it,
right?
Maybe there's a sense of
yes, right. But what's yes,
not there.
Yeah, that's fun. But we can both agree that it would be impossible to name everything that's not it.
That's right.
Because it just keeps streaming in, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that's not it, which is nothing other than it, keeps streaming in.
Endless.
And so there's no way, right, like, to inventory this to death.
But so then there, maybe what's present is the, there may be a certain amount of pleasure attached to that activity.
Yes, I think the discovery of this not being what we take it to be is thrilling, is cellularly delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something of a payoff. Though we don't...
Well, a felt...
I couldn't name it.
A subtle felt sense. Yeah. An intimate felt sense. You know, reflecting on the nature of discovery itself. Hmm. Is pleasing. This is immersive, and it's magnetically immersive, not just passively immersive. It's like a tractor beam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not inert, you know. It's not passive.
Yep, the felt piece is it's a word that is somewhat useful.
Mm-hmm.
To feel the...
We're going to find some...
The explosiveness of disappearance.
We'll have to steal some chairs from the yogurt place.
Can we do that?
Why not?
Yeah. Well, I just had yogurt. We could have just...
There you go.
We just paid $10 for the yogurt. So maybe
yeah, borrow a yogurt chair. The worst thing that happens is you two go to jail.
Anybody want this?
I don't think yogurt.
All right, I'm eating it all.
Well, that's from the market.
Yeah, they're not. I don't know.
A better chair to steal?
We don't want the rest of
this.
I don't know. Wasn't there three people there? I
thought there yes, were. There can be.
Yeah.
Somebody has to stride.
But they're all skinny people.
I should have got I had shoes. I had soccer mom chairs somewhere.
But they're there my chair from all there. There's no one even there.
Yeah. But
are they movable?
Hey, Jimmy?
But they're going to take it as a theft.
No, they're not. Just go in and ask them if you'll bring it back.
Why don't we just all sit over there and... We'll just bring our cup, or yogurt cup, and...
Well, there's no other chairs, though, right? There's only the two.
If we hear sirens, it's just all us.
There's 10 chairs over there.
Oh, well, we could do that.
Are there 10 chairs over there?
Yeah, we could go over and sit. Should we just go sit over there?
I don't think
we
are.
Bring your yogurt thing. We'll say,
I mean, we're law-abiding.
Circulate the yogurt cup.
We try to abide by the law.
Moving to yogurt place, to be continued. Probably be more comfortable sitting in the grass, really.
Catch your pillow.
You can
none
leave
of your business. We'll just put that there. This will just be even weirder. I doubt you'll be able to hear anything.
You're not sure you
will hear traffic.
I have one.
I'll just sit on my pillow on the ground over here. How's that? I'm totally content. Look, you don't need another one.
Sure?
He's gonna go check. No, I really.
All right,
but I'm gonna
sit
like this
anyway. We get, I mean, he's okay. Oh, no, that's.
We got enough anyway?
Yeah. No, we'd be okay if she's willing to do that.
I'm sitting on my pillow actually.
I didn't want to throw anybody out of her seat.
I'm more comfortable now than I was before.
So just the little gesture of moving from the table over there to chairs over here is the same way Genghis Khan conquered continents. It's bizarre. You guys go over there, you guys go over there. Okay, Genghis, we will. You think they knew what they were doing? No.
Something to do.
Anybody wants to belong to a movement, you know, all their spears have the same, you know, mark.
Might as well brand. Be in the winning group.
May as well be with the winning group. I mean, Spartacus took a hit.
Yeah,
I'm particularly fond of the Romans. Because the result is a country where they know they tried their best to run the whole goddamn thing. And they did it for a while.
Yeah.
And then they retired.
Yeah.
So the Italians are really happy. And they preserved that world
yeah,
that
right.
they produced.
Right.
The whole country is a museum.
Yeah.
Not allowed to touch the surface of anything.
Yeah, understood.
The outside surface.
That's cool.
It's a marvelous thing.
I guess we're still at it, then.
Yeah, we still think we're going to move shit around.
Yeah.
They're totally involved in the interior. You can do anything with the interior, just like we can do anything with our interior.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Is that really true? For our interiors being wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fun part about is it true? As you've pointed out, you know, many times, is that you're not going to find anything. The moment you put the brakes on sufficiently for something to show up as true, well, it's just not.
How is it possible to ever commit to anything and feel like you can hold on to
it? It's not. That's why it's called samsara. Because it's not actually possible to hold on to or commit to anything.
Or even to make a decent decision.
It's not possible. Yeah. But decisions are made. Some of them appear to be decent. The more fun ones are indecent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you alright?
Sure? She's young. It's no problem.
You can see how reflexively just this becomes an incredible orgasm of thought bubble in your experience. And that's where we live. We don't live with the incredible simplicity and naivete of just this, as receivers of an unmitigated miracle, we live in the thought bubble of artifacts or decisions about this. So we live in a virtual construct, and therefore isolated. So our cultural themes reflect the violence of everyone being predominantly isolated and all of the violent acquisition that goes on. I mean, even the violence that Facebook perpetrated upon its users by manipulating their experience with deliberate news feeds, you know, to conduct an experiment on their, you know, subscribers with no permission or warning about it.
I know. That's what I had heard something about that. What were they?
They're trying to debunk the idea that Facebook makes people depressed.
To debunk it.
Mm-hmm. Which they claim they did.
So they put false sort of like propaganda?
No, they said that they manipulated the post so that a certain percentage would be negative and a certain percentage would be positive. And then they gauged the user's experience.
Really?
Facebook does make people depressed.
Yeah.
Everybody in is running off having affairs with people from high, like people are losing their lives, but like you don't hear positive
thanks
things.
Thanks to Facebook.
Right.
Really? Yeah. Fantastic.
They want to go back to high school.
They want to go back to high school.
Oh yeah.
Just heard another story of that.
Thanks.
Like, really?
That's cool.
And the high schoolers are all cyberbullying.
Right, there's nothing positive. People are like changing the world.
They want to have.
I had one experience of connecting with a high school friend.
Yeah.
And we lasted for about 3 weeks, and I realized, I don't know what I'm talking about. I would have known him. I would have connected with him. Don't bother me.
Yeah.
It's over.
I found my biological father on Facebook. That was not a good move.
Wow.
Pretty weird when on your mother's page somebody that looks just like you shows up, that's and you're like, say what?
Oh, wow. It's getting surreal out there.
Yeah, I'm like, Mom? That is a true story.
Wow. And
there was a reason I didn't know about it. But yeah, it's not a positive. I've yet to have anybody say my life is a better place because of this. Better place.
Well, look at this same, you know, this experiment that, quote, Facebook did. Is happening nonstop with all forms of news media. You're not being channeled the truth about anything. You're being channeled what is being fed to you by corporate interests.
Yeah.
So the entirety of news reporting through most outlets, and that includes the wacky ones like, you know, Rents or stuff of that ilk, you know, the kind of the crazed conspiratorial, you know, web places where you can go, oh, George, I don't believe
near,
it.
Nori, what that was.
So it's all manipulated. All the media that you're exposed to. I mean, even sitting in front of the, you know, right? The yogurt song.
Yeah.
It's all manipulation.
Like it's healthy, right? It's like all sugar, yeah. As much as ice cream.
Now, this is you could say, having an impact on perhaps a small number of human beings.
Yeah.
That gather in plastic, faded plastic chairs out in front of a self-serve yogurt shop to, let's say, get a taste of something that's, you know, authentic and nourishing. So the hunger is present, right, for whatever authentic and nourishing might, if there's any left, of something you could refer to as authentic and nourishing occurring in your first-hand experience, well, what would it be? And there's very few places we can turn to within corporate consumerist culture to find anything left that's authentic or nourishing. It's all complete manipulation of you as a, you know, conditioned set of endorphin receptors.
You know, what's interesting is I find that sometimes I'll wake up from a dream, a nighttime type of dream, and every once in a while it's just this wonderful feeling. It's like, oh, what was that? You know, I mean, I'll have remnants of the memory, but it's just this warm feeling, this mood, you know, and that's like about the only real instance that I can point to of that being semi-successful. And it's a, you know, well, you could say all of life is a fantasy, but I mean, that seems to be really...
Well, you get a taste of some organic bliss.
But there's something about the observation of what's going on in the dream. There's some tone to it.
Everything has a tone and a geometry and a flavor that's mutating. How fast? I mean, irrepressibly, immeasurably quickly, everything is mutating. So it's fun to kind of feel this as a plasma of mood. Now, it's possible, I would suggest, that the quality of one's attention can start to shift from content, which is the imposition of meaning, to just the plasma of mood. Because your presence does not have a storyline associated with it. Your capacity for feeling the radiant brilliance of, call it, bioluminescent living does not have a storyline. And so your own presence, the availability, the unpredictability, the magic of your present experience is, well, here we are, it's completely on tap. But our typical motive for feeling better about shit, right, is not just to chill the fuck out in an ambiguous plasma of bizarre presence, is it? Our typical agenda, right, for correcting the annoyances of my consciousness is to do something about something, right? To convince somebody of something, right? To alter my behavior, my belief, to go find a teacher or a practice that will assist me somehow to get out from underneath the misery of my own imaginary incarceration. That's how we try to remedy, right? The weird unpredictability of living. Everyone's at risk. So, all we're playing around with, in a manner of speaking, is a just a little head fake to the left, right? Which is do nothing about the miracle of the presence of you. Don't lift a finger. To create meaning, to subscribe to meaning, to accuse oneself or someone else of being the product of meaning. And here's this. This happens to be the most incredible moment of your entire life.
I don't even have a yogurt.
And you don't even have a yogurt. Your things for you are looking up. I'm already dwelling in non-existential bliss, and I haven't even gotten my yogurt.
that latest patron that walked in there was giving us the look, man. She's like, "What is?"
Well, this is a movement.
Can I get past and go into the door without
really
being affected?
Yeah, it's a Seventh Day Adventist thing. You don't buy it.
Bring the pamphlets.
Yeah, yeah. This is just fellowship after the meeting.
Please, no success.
Yeah.
How can something that's nothing come into existence? We'll never comprehend it.
To become acquainted with the gift of yourself, just as bioluminescent sensitivity, as transcendent sensitivity, is the end game. It doesn't have to have a practical demonstration in your so-called life. Now, that in itself is a radical shift for we, being born, conceived, and conditioned as self-loathing consumers from the beginning. I mean, all that the society has given us the permission to become is a self-loathing consumer. No wonder we're so fucked up.
Who is manipulated and then walks out and tries to manipulate everybody else, because what else are you going to do?
Yeah. You know, but don't take it that seriously, because there's tobacco and Facebook and alcohol. At least legally.
And yogurt. Sugar.
And yogurt.
Sugar.
And sugar. Yeah, you guys will be okay. Look, don't despair over what we've delivered to you. Yeah. Look at all this shit you can buy to ameliorate just how self-hating you are. Oh, thank God.
It's
I love this country.
World. Life was good.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Well,
be
sure.
Entertained.
That's
Follow
right. That's right.
It's like Wall-E. Did you ever see Wall-E? I love that movie.
Wall-E.
Where they talk to each other on like, chairs that fly.
We've all become too obese to even walk. So we just fly around and converse that way.
And they talk to each other like on technology, and they have big giant sodas.
Big giant sodas.
I can't remember.
Giant soda.
Big gulp.
Big gulp.
Because it's great to be stoned on sugar. See you next week.
I think they've lost their muscle mass and they just kind of have to fly around. So.
I've decided that I only like sugar, so now I will eat nothing else.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You win.
It's terrible. I love it.
We are looking, at a pandemic, global pandemic, of the entire culture reducing itself to being a self-loathing, self-effacing consumer of something or other, or condemned to a level of poverty, which is so despairing that will give a 12-year-old an automatic weapon and encouragement to rape, pillage, and kidnap, you know, whomever from a neighboring village in the name of Muhammad? But this is another, you know, problem on the world stage is that, I mean, here we are, pretty fat. I mean, I'm literally fat. Some of you have the good sense to be thin. But we're fat with respect to what's at our disposal. I mean, look, we're hanging out in front of the yogurt shop with enough cash to get here, to enjoy a yogurt or not, to participate in this bizarritude of a conversation, and maybe, if we're lucky, flip on the AC and get a good night's sleep. And we are what percentage of the world's population that can do this?
300 million.
Pretty tiny, yes?
7 billion.
But again, all, you know, it's so easy to pick on a dream, as in the one that, right, you could imagine is unfolding on the surface of the earth by, you know, the mini, right, what is it, circumambulating primates that think that there's something other than a mycelium patch. So we can play around with the symptoms of the imagination of a planet and the news and the culture and the species, excuse me, and everything. But the real juice is not that. The real juice is to discover the curious nature of your first-hand experience. Unsullied by meaning, by imagination, by belief. I would say that's what Jesus did. That's what Buddha did. That's what Abraham did. That's what Muhammad, Allah did. They discovered the unsullied nature, the supremacy and the primacy of their own experience.
And yet they tried to explain it just like everybody else.
Appears so. Or the folks that lived maybe hundreds of years after them thought they might get some political mileage out of doing so. Right? Constantine could be credited with the creation of Christianity, not Jesus.
Well, Paul.
But it didn't take off.
No.
Until it hit big money, big power, and big dissemination. Right?
Paul and Constantine both, I would say.
And we can see this in any one of the world's major religions, where the so-called celebrated founder was of a simple nature. All of the trouble began from those that would benefit politically or economically. I don't need something too
terrible. You can just stick with your
own.
Okay. You want
some
from the yogurt place or what?
No, just something.
They don't have normal beverages there. You have to.
You can buy a water. There's a hose over there.
They have to go back in the kitchen.
Water.
Get
just
water
a bottle of water?
Yeah.
Sink.
Okay. But maybe we should buy it in here since we're going out. Yeah, you can buy a bottle of water.
Oh, do they have bottled water?
Yeah, they have bottled water. Yeah. I'm too good cheap. I just asked for tap water.
I just assumed that they didn't have water.
So
between that and the fact that I'm laying on the ground,
water,
we might as well at least buy a bottle of water.
Yeah. Next
help
time
us
I'm
going
to get the big one because you can just load it up.
You can just load it up like a big gavon. Just put all that.
It doesn't cost the same amount. It was half the actual.
You made the poor choice. I got to overeat.
Yeah, right.
These things, they show up everywhere. Like,
I didn't
everywhere.
Even know what I didn't know what to do in here. I walked in here, I'm like,
really?
Tell me what to do.
They're like on every block.
There's red berries real big now.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. That berry's really good.
It's all self-serve.
Oh, is it?
Really? Yeah, you just go and make your own creation. Self-serve.
Everything's self-serve now. I was complaining that the library now is completely... They're not librarians anymore.
Oh, well, we're doing self-serving.
Like, right standard. Yes. You can't ask them for a book recommendation or anything. Like, they'll just use the computer, and I'm like... That was the fun of part of the library. A recommendation and tell them what you're interested in.
It's a lot of fun to discard all of the new age shit that happens, you know, in and around Marin and Berkeley and other places.
I notice in those places that there are some people that are like really have a lot of clarity. And they, you know, give talks and stuff, and the people that show up there bring all that New Age crap. It's usually the teachers don't mention it, but the crowds gossip about it.
Right. Start simple is a good idea. This is not about anything.
Won't travel too long.
You can't, then if you give yourself, offer yourself, or even entertain it for a moment, that this is not about anything, then the whole profound reflex for creating and assigning meaning drops out. And not in a minute, but immediately. So this is not about anything, and yet marvelously, irrefutably so. Then it's possible to be relieved of the hysteria of trying to find out what this is about, whether you find that out from the Buddhist, the Hindu, or Pebble Hill Church, or wherever. Right? Your parents. You have to rely on them for a time.
It really undermines the quest.
Speak up.
It undermines the quest because we're in the present. We realize we're it. We're in the middle of it.
Of sure.
Of this nothing.
Yeah.
So what the hell is there to look for?
No quest. Yeah. Fuck you, fuck me, fuck this.
So we just loiter at the...
That's it, loiter. I think the highest spiritual practice, which is what our...
It's like junior high.
Yeah, we're back to junior high. Facebook has worked.
Collectively loitering.
Here we are, apparently well-adjusted, responsible
loiterers.
Adults, even parents amongst us.
Yeah.
And we're... back to loitering.
Let's go find some place to loiter.
Mm-hmm. I'm still expecting some cop to come up and say,
yeah.
Disperse.
Exactly. You can't hang
like
out
in
here.
High school.
Yeah, they won't do it when it's us.
Yeah.
There's something,
no, unless someone breaks out a doobie, then maybe they'll have ground. But otherwise.
They won't do it because we're well-dressed white people.
Thank you.
Well, and adults, because I was a well-dressed white teenager. That didn't seem to help.
No, that won't help.
No.
Yeah. 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 Loitering rocks.
Now that I can finally get away
it's
with it.
Spiritual loitering.
Really was special in the teen years. That was amazing.
California. A lot of loitering.
Pretty much.
That's all they do.
You've got to put it the right, the hang out. Hang out. Let's call it hang out. That's a little better feel.
So, homelessness is what to aspire to.
Yeah, the kings of loitering. The kings and queens of loitering. Yep.
Bad consumers, good at loitering.
Hmm.
we could look at them as agents of information. The electricity goes out, the grid goes out, fuel runs out. They all know how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, they know how to do it.
We could go to them. For,
we'll be taking workshops in no time.
How to build cans and washes.
Cardboard and stuff.
Surviving in the zombie apocalypse.
How to improvise.
Yeah. Yeah. Wooden chilling in the zombie apocalypse.
I think we should offer some training to
you. Yeah. You could lead that.
Comfortable in the zombie
that man knows how to live off the earth.
I mean, so, you know, if you have an issue, and we all have thousands of issues, they're on tap, right? You can manufacture thousands of issues so quickly and subscribe to them instantaneously and go on amazing, if not painful, journeys, right, mentally and emotionally, dealing with these, call them imaginary issues, which are all based on projection, right? Apprehension and anticipation.
So you're saying basically just go, what the fuck?
Well, that was one of the bumper stickers. Yeah,
yeah, sometimes you just can't say what the fuck.
Or, and that doesn't mean that you cease, let's say, participating in your life with great care, with great intelligence, with great affection or great humor. It's an experiment. At this point in our lives, we can perhaps all appreciate what thinking about shit has delivered. We're experts at seeing the results of thinking about shit. And we wouldn't be sitting in this loitering group unless we were, to some extent, pretty done with the deliverables of thinking about shit. Otherwise, you'd be merrily thinking about shit or someplace else. This wouldn't appeal to you.
Yeah, indeed.
What are those people sitting out there? There's so much shit to be thinking about.
And doing.
Yeah.
And Facebooking about.
That's right. So, you know, you could say the first rule of loitering club is there is no loitering club. And that there's nothing left to think about. At least you give yourself a break from time to time, couple times a week, you know? You hang out, loiter. You give yourself a break from thinking about anything.
Then how will we be miserable?
You can't be miserable then. You can only get miserable once you get back into your car and turn the thinking machine back on. Then misery is, you know, waiting there behind the visor. Yes, but see, it's strange. It's not like we're aiming for an ideal condition. Like, I insist I'm just going to do this right from now on. So, I'm good. I'm enlightened. I'm whatever, you know. I'm no longer suffering myself. Right? But relax around it. You know, suffer yourself. Big fucking deal. Once you get a taste of loitering, you're going to come back to loitering. You're going to make a beeline back for loitering, because loitering rocks. Thinking about shit sucks. And you're going to figure that out at some point.
It takes facing repeated.
I would consent to that, absolutely.
Bumper sticker. Do less, loiter more.
Yeah. Right.
You're saying you have to train yourself. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. It's just that it's like the school of hard knocks. I mean, you keep going back to it, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, here we go again. And it's more of that kind of thing. And that will diminish as you realize, see the pattern. You know?
This whatever it is likes waking up. It likes the way it feels. It does. You're a vehicle, if you will. You're a surrogate, cyborg, for the fact that this loves to wake up. And so you're going to respond to it. You can't help it. You made it.
It was particularly useful. Wednesday morning, driving around, I'm tired. I hadn't had much sleep, and I was in. And was looking for some tile. Went to a tile store in Roxborough, and the roads there go up and down. And then I realized I wanted to go back to my body shop because of my back bumper has been busted up. And I looked in the back, looked up front, and it's a wider street, and it's in the middle of making a U-turn in the street.
Yeah.
And I got about not quite halfway, and this car, like a bullet, was shooting past me.
Yeah.
Now, I went into the turn slowly. I didn't... Had I accelerated...
Right.
It would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
He'd have gone right into me.
Yeah, right.
Right into the driver's door.
Right.
So, I had a moment to look at it. Well, how long do you want to dwell on the miracle of being alive?
Right now.
Not dead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's over. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
You How many times do you want to regurgitate this?
My mother would have used that for 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. 3 months.
3 months.
She right. would started at 3 months.
Yeah, she would have just kept going on that one. No,
that's
right.
Right.
That's right.
And it is, was useful to just know that that appeared as a possibility. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
And what happened is I just turned, went where I wanted to go.
Yeah. It's quite fascinating to discover... I would call it a quality of sobriety.
Hmm. If what you mean by that,
yeah,
that you're aware, know about that this is something's happening in Spanish.
Something you're happening. Non-reminiscent,
right? This is
what. That's an interesting word, non-reminiscent.
I'd have you have to make a cerebral project.
Yes.
To do recall.
Yeah. Now, yes.
This becomes more interesting than that. Isn't
That's right. Yeah, you're looking through the windshield instead of the rear view mirror. Okay. You actually start enjoying this in a way that you could perhaps not have expected when you turn the corner and are no longer reminiscing.
Who were I conditioned to be that? And again, that Facebook thing, then people go and talk about. Then they comment on it. Then 3 days later, right, why are we conditioned? That is the natural state to go on and on and on about something.
Well, maybe it's the natural state not to. Which state would you like to live in?
A little bit of peace with the peace, yeah.
I would say it's just as natural, arguably more natural, to be non-reminiscent. It's just that we haven't discovered it yet. We don't know that it exists or that it might actually be welcoming to us.
Or do we like the attention from telling that story to 50 different people, like, and then putting it on Facebook and then making it go on? Maybe, I wonder if people...
Attention is part of the formula. Attention seeking, right? Justifying self.
Some sort of biochemical reward or something, like talking about yourself.
Well, yeah, you know... The attendant to the Dalai Lama, Tibetan Buddhist
Lama Lhotseng, yeah, or something.
Came to Pebble.
The guy at Pebble on Sunday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a good bit of that was reminiscing. And
I think I've seen that guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fine, you know. I mean, it was to be expected. There was no shocking revelation.
Didn't he say something like, I've been meditating since I was 15 and I'm still the same or something?
Oh, I don't recall hearing that. I may have zoned out. But,
but, you know, so much of it
is the story, and it's a novelty for people that haven't heard it, you know. And so people just get... They just get such a chuckle out of the idea of a Tibetan Lama who talks about going to Home Depot and seeing his sister in West Philly or wherever she is,
yeah.
And, you know, like regular folks, and it's a Lama. Oh, what a chuckle.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, the whole thing rotate, you know, revolved around his story. You know, I mean, it's all the story. I mean, it's just such a powerful thing. And especially when your story is, you know, it is incredible. He was, I think he was 5, and he was, had a backpack on, and he was like going over the mountains, you know. His parents died when he was real young, and I'm, you know, well, that's going to stick with you. But I'm afraid that's going to hold you back, too. You know, it's going to keep, you know, I mean, how do you not
well,
let
stick
that...
with you and hold you back are...
I don't know. Wouldn't it be kind of hard to let... Well, maybe.
It's not a paradoxical kind of thing where...
I don't know.
It's like...
Well, you have to do it here. You have to become non-reminiscent here. Right? You can't...
Right now.
You can't... Yeah, you can't... You can't benefit, if you will, or play with the possibility of becoming non-reminiscent a day ago or a day from now. You have to discover what it's like now.
It seems like when there's
a
big change
like
in one's
more
life,
more
if I was able to levitate and see the world or something like that, you know, that would be hard not to say, whoa, far out, you know. I would be reminiscing about how powerless I was before, and now I can like, do all this stuff.
That's a fun conjecture, sure.
Maybe on YouTube. Show your levitation.
Well, this is remarkably creative. It has a certain kind of urgency to it, and it story tells. I mean, you could say the entirety of the universe, for fun, refreshes from scratch to the immensity, the volume of all creative and phenomenal expression. From click to click. I mean, just look at the neutron, right? Look at the so-called molecular or submolecular atomic and subatomic world available to our curious observation. What do you find there? Well, no thing. We just find the residue of a profound dreaming. So really, the entire volume of the entire observable universe, you can't actually know that it's independently existing, that it's not just dreaming itself into self-reflection from click to click and just as easily disappears. So where do you begin? What, the 100 trillion cells in your body, or a 5-year-old, you know, being whisked out of the Chinese occupation of Tibet? You know, or the recent article that said, by the way, it's true, we found the Higgs boson, which means this shouldn't be happening. I mean, that's what the smart theoretical physicists realize, is that, we found the particle. It had absolutely no duration. All we could find were the faint artifacts of the possibility or the plausibility of an imagined duration. And therefore, the universe that we think that we're dwelling in now, right, as a volume of phenomenal expression is, I'm sorry, it's just not so.
You're mistaken.
It's just not so. You know, so that was the discovery. Oh, by the way, nothing exists. It's clear. Have a nice day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was that simple. Oh, yeah, yeah, we saw the particle. It was... Nothing exists. Have a nice day.
On to something else.
Well, sure.
I didn't catch that.
Our delight, then, our challenge, yogically speaking, as sojourners into nothing at all, is to kind of discover what it is that we can discover with the miraculous gift of intelligence that this is, that we are. And do so, you could say, non-conceptually, without insisting on some kind of meaning or destination or genesis being responsible for the miracle of your present experience.
Playfully.
So, though... I don't even know what's going to come out of my mouth right now.
No one does. Nobody does. Yeah, go for it. Take a deep breath and see what happens.
We're wondering. It's okay. We're good.
Yeah,
well,
just
the non-conceptual
just so it's not yogurt.
Experience of a Tibetan Lama is, you know, it's still like a thing. theater of something.
It's
that,
theater.
Yeah, that you can still experience
theater.
Sort of
yeah,
somewhat
it's theater.
Non-conceptually, right?
Sure, sure.
I mean, yeah. If it then became like, well, why can't I be a Tibetan Lama or, you know, or something like that, then... You know, then
right.
Have a suffering spin on it.
Yeah, that's right. You can.
I don't know.
You can create despair really, really quickly with nothing at all. You can load it up really high, really deep, with really nothing at all. Yeah, it's the thrill of despair.
Yeah,
it is.
The agony of defeat.
The yeah. Agony. Of, yeah, the agony of defeat. The thrill of despair.
Deceit. The agony of deceit.
Absolutely.
Theater.
So there's, we know there's nothing to know. However, we know that we know something's happening.
All right.
Something's being experienced.
Something going on, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it suits you, your personality, right? Your gift of language and reflection, for that to be a lovely. Tautology this moment.
Yes. I make up shit.
Yeah.
We all do.
Well, we have nothing else we can do.
Right. Make up.
That's right. That's right.
I need to take a stab and throw it. Throwing pebbles in the room.
Yeah.
Make some
I think Kate Roll, if you guys had an accent
or
voices.
Oh, here she is.
This is where we ended up. I was too embarrassed to say meet you in front of the Yogo factory.
Well, we ran out of seats.
We bought
like
water between the 10 of us, and that's where we're driving.
We migrated.
Grab a chair from inside. We'll just steal everything.
Text message with the Yogo.
I'm going to grab a Yogo.
In it.
Good idea.
Oh, good. Yeah, good idea.
Right.
Yeah,
God,
good
yeah.
idea.
Please.
Grab a Yogo and a chair.
Okay.
Yeah. Promise to give them back by closing. So it's kind of fun, you know, you're loitering in the irrefutability of your own experience. You don't need any kind of spiritual or religious authority to convey to you any kind of permission at all.
I don't have to pay a $3,800 membership fee to
not if you
well,
don't
that's
want
a pretty
to.
Specific number. That must come from something.
The bill just
no,
came.
No, but you can.
The
yes.
bill just came.
We'll
yeah.
take
red
large
tiled
walls
and lights and a... Some
yeah.
sort of sporting event.
Drop that $3,800
for a group.
I
just,
I, yeah.
We only
done.
Want half of that.
It's a lot of money.
What was
what's
that
for? What kind of commitment?
That. The synagogue building fund and membership.
Oh, yes. Of course, the synagogue, yeah. Right.
It's a lot of money. And that's
well, if you want, an air-conditioned place to loiter, you have to buck up.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a loitering
a
fee.
Comfy pad on your butt.
Right?
It's a loitering
it's
fee.
Everything's a loitering fee.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I want to loiter in the nice synagogue.
It's a shocking number. It's,
sure
it's
it is.
It's a shocking number.
Yeah.
And it's getting higher because nobody can come up with the numbers, so there are fewer people than they've raised them because they can't make their expenses.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
It makes the numbers screw down.
It does. But then...
Yeah.
It's a trickle.
Well, somebody has to mop the capital steps.
It's true. Buy the toilet paper.
It's not as in vogue. They used to be able to get that very easily. I've noticed that they can't get it.
Oh,
so
the synagogues are starting to deteriorate. Good sign.
Because
it's
of
good
the number.
Sign.
It's that number.
Well, we're growing, in a sense, more intelligent. More demanding of authentic, genuine, unapologetic experience. We're tired of condemning others and being condemned by them, or being condemned by spiritual authorities. We're just fucking tired of it. And so if we continue to participate, you know, in the synagogue, in the mosque, in the church, then we're giving away a lot of, call it, you know, juice and energy for the sake of a loitering space which isn't really serving our most depthful spiritual needs. Because we've outgrown the model. If you're done with superstition, you're done with your Judaism. If you're done with superstition, you're done with all of them. You still love living. You still like to be in your own company, in the company of other people, where you can loiter and say, that was a good way to spend my evening. But those institutions are not capable of delivering the dignity, and I mean that, the dignity of just how cool you are.
Because they have all those, part of it is because of that ridiculous, they got themselves all tied up.
They're all tied up in a miraculous mirage of absolute superstition. Which now, in a manner of speaking, contemporary physics, right? The revelation of the scientific endeavor is saying, whoop! We had no idea. You know? And that's kind of fun. Not that science is without its own superstition. It's another body of superstition. But invited to feel the autonomy of your own experience and not have to pay homage or get permission from a spiritual or religious authority for your own dignity. That's cool. Then those institutions, they're not going to be able to hold you any longer. And we can see that that's occurring.
That's all self-granted.
Yes.
You don't need it.
No, you know what we never have.
That's okay.
What we expect? Set up the whole time. I'm like, they're going to be doing construction and that whole thing.
Going to start sewing yet?
Yeah.
Fucking good idea.
That was pretty good.
That was quite a light show.
I'm like, oh,
do it again.
She likes that.
Four.
That was great because I was waiting the whole time for it, and then like the second it happened, it was like, blah.
Cool. That was quite a light show.
Well,
it's going on up there in the same way. Yeah. We just can't quite see it.
Yeah, this is right here.
Okay, so we're waiting for the next.
The other shoes.
So.
Oh, he has to put it up.
Next cut.
It's more work than they did on that clothes ones too.
A nice twist on the loitering thing. Being paid for loitering.
Oh, being paid for loitering?
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's right.
It's true.
We should make a business out of this. We will loiter in front of your institution.
I'm like, yeah. I think I am.
We will loiter at your location.
Pretty sure that's what I do for a living.
We'll work for food. Yeah. We'll loiter for food. Yeah. Yeah, that place is so busy. They're sitting outside.
Yeah, like free marketing.
It's
just give me some yogurt. I'll sit outside your store all day. Wear a t-shirt that says yoga.
Not really the grievers.
So what are they? Are they redoing something in Moises?
Well, they're making the lounge.
They're making a lounge so they can sell beer.
To go to.
Basically.
Oh, it hasn't been opened yet.
If they make a lounge, they can sell beer.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lounge in a supermarket?
Well, they have it in Wegmans and Whole Foods now. And
yeah.
Those places.
They're doing that everywhere.
Yeah, it's a new thing in the state.
For the cool places.
Yeah.
Like Weiss.
The last place I ever went to is a supermarket.
Oh, no, it's where you buy beer.
And leave.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there.
No, it's not like a bar.
Oh, yeah, but they're like
places like Wegmans have a pretty nice bar with pretty decent food. And
yeah. No, but they don't have like a bar like where you buy drinks, though. It's like no takeout.
Beer and wine.
Do they have, you can, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Check out Wegmans or a fancy
bar. Where's the bar in Wegmans?
Upstairs.
Oh, really? By that seating area.
That's right.
Oh,
there's a wine dispensary machine.
Oh.
There.
You should have told me that. Then I'll be loitering at Wegmans now.
I can drive.
Oh, I'm changing loitering spots immediately.
I'm trying to get front of
the car to get there.
Just leave one in the van and we'll just set it up no matter where we are.
You can just, yeah.
We're being recorded.
I like outside.
We are?
I probably said fuck five times. Why didn't somebody tell me we were pre-recorded?
I don't doubt you can even hear anything.
I don't know. I use too many personal references. That's what I gotta watch out now.
Nobody cares about fuck. Yeah, talking shit about other people, that should be funny, though. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Still do it.
You make fun of Pebble Hill, it can only be by initial.
Yeah. We'll have to start making up codes now.
We'll have to let's reverse the initials.
One time at HP, we'll be like, we were talking about Hewlett-Packard Company, obviously.
So why are we being recorded?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
As an experiment. Did you, have you been back to, no?
Yeah, and I got questioned, and when I actually gave my feedback, it wasn't received really well.
Huh, that happens. Yeah, when you offer feedback.
Well, I didn't offer. He chased me down, where have I been, Facebook. I'm not aggressive in that way.
So someone stalked you for feedback.
And then didn't like what I had to say.
That's all right. Things are changing. Pebble Hill just broke its waters. And it's going to be rebirthing minutes, any minute now.
Well, that's the impression I'm getting. Yeah. I mean, but mostly through you.
Pebble Hill is on the verge of an incredible rebirth, and it just broke its waters. That's why we're meeting here, is the
water broke.
Just its waters broke.
Well, was it the sewage that broke, or the clean water supply?
No, the feed.
Yeah, the feed water. So there's no clean water supply.
That means there's
we could have probably made do with that water.
Maybe the monkey crapped in the sewage system.
It's always a wait and see. I mean, what is your life but a kind of a wait and see?
Death approaches, wait and see. This right, that we want to optimize the gift of experience in some way, right? If we stop optimizing, maximizing, Beatles, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I don't know how to tickle you, just write those Beatles.
Under attack.
Self-referencing mind that creates the hallucination of an individual existence, which is
that you can like rate and rank in some.
Well, it's congested, right? Measure is congested. The movement of psychological measure, meaning, is congested. It becomes referential. Your nature is not referential. Mind operates, it appears
as though it is,
as it is a vehicle of referential rumination, which your nature, your presence is not referential. That's why we're malnourished by mind, because mind can't actually deliver the goods. And as you begin to discover firsthand the texture, the feeling of yourself as non-referential, you're profoundly, strangely, deeply nourished. And that nourishment, as we return to it, as we become conscious of it, make an appointment, even voluntarily, to show up and feed on it, right? It has the miraculous capacity to release you from the habit of creating meaning. And seeing how your life looks and feels when you operate organically, without all of the rumination and incarceration that's created as an abstraction. You're done with abstraction. Right now, you're done with it. You can actually enjoy yourself, but not necessarily on the winning side of the poker table, or because you have the perfect steak and the perfect baked potato and the perfect, you know, customized beer. Even though that's also a lovely way to enjoy yourself, but you enjoy yourself by virtue of the profundity of your own presence. When you're no longer beleaguered by the habit of meaning seeking or making this about anything. So if some spiritual teacher is selling something on a nearby corner, you're just as happy to walk by because you know that this isn't about anything. So you're not in a market.
That is pretty wondrous. Most of my life, I've been in the market for sure, and would chase it, whatever. Since I was a
right man,
little guy.
Search for meaning.
Sure.
Sounds like Walter Cronkite. And say it right.
There is
the secret life of man's search for meaning.
Is that Jung or somebody?
Yeah, I don't know. It's existential.
Yeah.
Or to correct our parents' wrongs, like a lot of us, including
Jewish?
Myself. Yeah,
like
do that.
Holocaust
I know a lot of mothers and fathers
yeah,
that do
that.
They didn't have a good childhood, so we try to do it through our children. There's all this meaning to just feeding your kid the right food because your parents didn't, instead of just putting the food on the table.
Yes, there's multicultural compensation, which drives everyone to a therapist.
The nicest people, but
right?
Yes.
Multi-generational compensation, which drives everyone to a therapist. It doesn't work.
How do you turn that off? It's like it's so ingrained.
Yeah, well, you don't try to turn it off. You just loiter.
In the midst of it. In the face of
it. The loitering will kill it.
Well, the whole sort of tapped out seeking is a little weird, though, you know, sort of anhedonic or something. That's the only way I can filter it.
Yeah.
Right. Second. But, like, there's. What do you do?
Yeah.
Loiter. Why do?
Loiter.
Loiter.
Yeah.
Like you can't even restart even if you want to. It's kind of like
you're going to grow up and you're not going to grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't make a toddler turn into a teenager just before it's time. Yeah. So just wait.
So turn off, as my grandmother would say, the dragging, you know, that like content that way. You just need to keep bringing it.
Don't do anything about yourself.
Yeah. Don't.
There's nothing to do about yourself. There's nothing to do about even your present experience, though it may be delicious or something less than that. Because the moment you try to do something about something, you see, you're living referentially again. You're living with reminiscence. You're not, let's say, dumbstruck with wonder. You're trying to resolve a discomfort, right? You're on the defense or the attack with a large portfolio of disquietude. So that's just more enrolling in fantasy. Drop your weapons.
Drop them.
Right. Yeah.
I must go.
Thank you, Jamie.
See you.
Bye, Jamie.
Drop your weapons. Drop your weapons. You could say, as a practice, loitering about is good because you can drop your weapons when you're not necessarily under, you know, a crescendo of stress or events that have really unseated you. In other words, so you're playing around with loitering when you're kind of chill. This way it's not being done as a remedy. See? It's a pastime.
I think we need to send out a memo to replace the word vigilant with loiter.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Replace better. The word, what's that?
I think we need to send out a memo to replace the word meditate with loiter.
Oh, okay.
Meditation just sounds awful, but
yeah. It is
loitering
awful.
Is great. It's the exact same fucking thing.
Yeah, loitering is the shit.
I like that. Loitering is the shit.
You were such a genius as a teenager.
Yeah, really.
We out of that. I was getting arrested for loitering.
Had it down then. Now, you see, even when we...
That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
That you can't get arrested for that.
I did.
You know, but I'm saying...
I did
that culturally...
And fine.
Yes.
There's an instinctual sense that you've got to be doing something.
That's why pot's illegal.
That's right. Well, that's why all the class one substances that would otherwise assist the species mutate into intelligence are illegal. Because they don't want you to mutate into intelligence. They want you to be a self-denigrating consumer.
They want you to be productive.
Yeah.
You're not going to be productive if you're taking mushrooms.
Well, maybe you are, but... I'd write a great novel.
Okay.
They want you to be controlled,
be a good consumer, per se.
Controlled and controllable. They. Who's they? I don't know. I mean, is it the local police chief wants this? I mean, he's also, you know, a basket case of trouble. I mean, all of the police forces, you know, surrounding the borders of the country, or this poor professor in Arizona that was taken down aggressively, violently by a campus security officer because she was giving him a little bit of lip about him wanting to give her a ticket for jaywalking. Oh. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're seeing the kind of rapid ascension of militarizing, right, police forces from every discipline, whether it's Homeland Security or Border Patrol or campus security or you name it. And so... Who's doing that? And who are they recruiting to be the trainee? Right? Yeah.
I don't know, Jeff. Class one narcotics,
yeah,
to me, are actually the flip of that. They're a way to control people.
Well, that's true, too. They can be used that way, even while they're maintained illegally. Yeah, because look at all the skimming that happens through the war on drugs.
Like
well, they want to be in control to use them to manipulate however they
see. That's right.
That would be a consumeristic thing. That's one of those.
Yeah.
Or the GPs that just write all these antidepressants because they got paid off by the drug company and got taken to a hockey game. And
they get sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right. You go to hell and I'll have a sandwich.
You go to hell and I'll
have a new pen.
It's pretty much like that, right?
Yeah. I don't think they can give out sports
you
tickets.
You go straight to hell and I'll just enjoy this sandwich. I think it is. Yeah. But again, you know, I mean, we are in a curious age, right?
It is.
I mean, socio-politically, right? Socio-economically, in all respects, if we're sitting around being armchair sociologists, armchair anthropologists, armchair political scientists, right? Armchair spiritual seekers. We're looking at an incredible acceleration of surreal weirdness that is for sure becoming more and more violent and violating the world over. Right here in the bosom of our homegrown democracy.
Craziness.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
That's right. So it might be.
Thanks for the warning.
Part two.
It might be wise of us, as you know, call it quiet, nonviolent revolutionaries, to loiter, to outdream the fuckers, because it's a dream, right? I mean, no matter how much control or money or influence, pernicious or otherwise, the so-called 1% has. They've left the dream.
Sweet.
Yeah. Who needs fireworks? Happy fourth. Here we are. Loitering. Free light show.
I don't know what the response is. Let's say you're an intelligent person. You care about your family, right? Your nieces and nephews. Your grandchildren. The polar bear. Right? So you care about shit.
Like the polar bear.
And you see an incredible machine occurring, which is robbing the entire species of their dignity. Because of what? Financial gain? Oil shortages? What exactly? It's too surreal to even find a justification for it. Maybe it's just the consequence of 7-point-something billion of us putting way too much strain on the materialist infrastructure that are created country by country to manage the sheer heat, the sheer prana of 7-point-something billion.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way out, really. I mean, not that it has to be so consumeristic, but to some extent, like, what else is it going to be?
No reason to be pessimistic.
Yeah, no reason to be pessimistic.
I just assume the world's going to change for the better. I mean, like, look at the Middle East.
Yeah.
As terrible as it is, the generation that's my age is, like, so fed up with it. I do not see any of that shenanigans going on in 50 years. Because you look at, like, Iran with the Green Revolution. Those were all college kids. They're just like, this is fucking nuts. Our parents are insane.
The Middle East has been like that for thousands of years. I don't, that's not, they've been killing each other since...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that very lovely report, you know, has also been present, I would think.
Sure.
From you know, generation to generation, I think. I don't. Maybe not. Maybe
I
it's
know.
Maybe it's bursting into a new kind of self-revelation
mass,
that we haven't seen yet.
Maybe.
I think there's some kind of critical mass where the youth is just not buying it. You know, like oh, I'll work this job and then I'll in 10 years they'll make me partner. It's like
no, I don't know. There's
that,
you know, like everybody's gonna have a community garden and all that stuff.
Film has been played so many times.
Yeah, it has, and it just
will
never
go.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty optimistic.
No,
my friend,
I mean,
so why even assert your position in it? I mean, if it's just like a
right.
genius ecosystem, you
yes.
know, that's just transmuting and doing what it does,
right.
then, like, it's like, oh, there's 7-point-whatever billion, let's make some vegans. We gotta get some vegans in there. Not all these fuckers
are vegans.
But then we take in, we're like, everybody's gotta be vegan, and it's like, well, it's just...
Yeah.
But that maybe that's just what it's doing, too. It's like, well, some people will hate them, and some will love them, it will even itself out, you know? It's just a fucking ridiculous show. It's like...
That's true.
I don't know. What's the point of even
the evil Chinese right now?
Yeah, and we'll have them run around and tell everyone else to be vegan. Like, 5 people might do it, and, you know...
Thich Nhat Hanh gave it a whirl, and his worldwide community told him to fuck off. They didn't want to go vegan.
Really?
That's where he wanted to take, you know, whatever precept it is, you know, of non-harming.
He went to veganism.
He was trying to push veganism on the worldwide order of interbeing. And the lashback was more than the institution could handle.
Walking around there with signs, picket signs, we want chicken.
Roasted pork outside. Maybe. Pig roast in front of Thich Nhat Hanh's tomorrow at 8.
Just, people were not prepared to be both a member of the order of interbeing, right? A lay member of the order of interbeing, having paid the vow and the building fund, and taken precepts, the five precepts, which is the light, precept light. You can go to 14 or perhaps even more, but you take the basic five precepts, and then you're a card-carrying member of Thich Nhat Hanh's order of interbeing, and then the master says, "Oh well, it is time to be vegan," and they were like, "I don't think so."
Yeah.
It didn't fly. It didn't work. They weren't ready to do it. Even though you could say from an ahimsa point of view,
They're like, where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
That's right. People wanted to sit on the cushion and enjoy their stroganoff. and if the institution had persisted doggedly in trying to convert people to veganism, you would have had a tremendous amount of splintering going on. And he or whomever were not prepared to deal with the backlash of 75, 85, 90% of the worldwide order of interbeing not supporting the vegan initiative.
Well, I just wonder, what does the utopian dream look like? I mean, I can't...
This.
It's more
somebody's
of like
she's gotta keep go to changing work and doing random shit, and there's light, no.
Well, it would just be less of other stuff, the greed would fall away. I mean, it's not like all this good shit would replace it. It's just like, imagine if evil corporations didn't run the world.
Whoa. What are you fucking smoking, man?
I imagine that all day, every day.
All right,
anyway,
so there's no
I
want to
have some.
Okay.
All
right.
We'd still be, yeah, we'd
by
we could still eat yogurt and
corporations.
Yeah, it doesn't
sucks.
Matter.
Then
people
where's
in
the
Africa
fun? Where's the rebellion?
There you go. It could be
yeah,
really disappointing.
Yeah.
This nirvana could end up being really disappointing.
Yeah.
I can't fight with myself. I can't fight with my
Utopia
wife.
Is boring as shit.
Yeah.
I have no air conditioning. There's no more yoga places.
I mean, I'm all for it. I just have to figure out how it's going.
Just take away the greed.
You
want to
certify it.
It's funny that air conditioning comes because people take that so far. We don't have air conditioning. Our office wasn't built with it. And people are so shocked. I had workers in there who aren't even, their country doesn't have air conditioning. You must have air conditioning. So, but I don't have air conditioning.
I don't have it.
You have to
go buy it.
Go buy it.
I'm not buying air conditioning.
I'm not buying it.
Some people don't like it.
I don't have it. It's just something that didn't... It's expected that everybody has...
Yeah. I never used to look like that.
No. We're fine. We put a fan on. But yeah, it's taken for granted that you've got... It wasn't for any... He just didn't want to be hot while he was working. In my husband kept going to the floors. I'm like, no, you don't want to sweat. but I assure you, you'll live. I don't know, but yeah, it's expected. It's expected that you have it. That's a luxury. Air conditioning is a luxury.
But we like it, too,
We like it, I like it.
Consciousness is a luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see everything as a bizarre luxury. You're like, oh, more luxury. What's going to happen today? Luxury or us?
Yeah. Well, we take for granted that we all have these enemies.
Yes, of course. Anyone does indeed.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Dan.
Yeah. Thanks. Whatever you've become accustomed to, whether it's pretty low-level poverty or something of an unimaginable wealthy, you habituate to it. That becomes your field of entitlement.
When I was a kid,
we had air conditioning, but my mother didn't have any money. You couldn't turn it on. Like, I'm used to it because you couldn't turn it on. She couldn't pay that bill.
She couldn't pay it.
She didn't. So she said, do not turn it on.
But it can go the other way, too. Like, you can see it in a million different, you know. I mean, I, like, got handed an air conditioner that was perfect for my little place. Like, ideal, you know, and I didn't put it in for a while because I was like, I don't know. You know, it's like, you just got handed a free air conditioner that fits perfectly for your little tiny place. Put it in the fucking window and plug it in.
Mm-hmm. Your electric bill goes up. It's not free.
I know, but all that shit is like the universe just delivered you a fucking air conditioner. Put it in the window and shut up.
You're right.
I'm not used to sweating when I sleep.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out too well.
No, it sucks. I agree, but it's just so funny how that's just so, something like that is so expected. That is not recorded.
Well, let's play with what's expected for a moment and look at it more subtly, if I may. What do you expect of your own consciousness? What do you expect of your own experience? To live another moment? To enjoy the next breath? To put something together in the kitchen when you're feeling like it? Either because you're actually hungry or you just want to be distracted. Right? Look at the body of curious entitlement, and I don't mean that in a bad or accusatory manner, of the way we get through a day or get through a life. What we consider to be mine, under my influence, my domain. What do I have at my disposal, financially, health-wise, clothing? Someone said, hey, let's go out to dinner. Well, I can go into my closet and I can look like this, or I can look like that. You know? So we all, in the ordinary routine of our lives, live with an incredible amount of apparent choice, entitlement, presumption, expectation. Right? This gentleman,
our,
you know, was near dead.
Out.
Yeah. Right? If you had taken a more aggressive U-turn, that would have been it. So all of your entitlement and your presumptions, your accumulations would have been...
How does he know this isn't the Bardo?
This though? Could be it. Do they take the these chairs too?
Yeah.